hoped to have some kind of satisfying answer, and yet God has orchestrated this whole situation, so what? That you will get down on your knees and come to Him. Well, then we have in Genesis 1, in the beginning God. That's really all you need to know. In the beginning God. Creation is all about God, isn't it? And yet we so want to put ourselves in the middle of that. It's all about Him. Remember, while you're here, you breathe His air, you drink His water, and you walk on His earth, and you eat His food that He's allowed to grow. And He created it all. Genesis 1. Please note, God took the initiative. And isn't that what we found in Leviticus? Law after law after law was given to Moses to show Moses how holy God is. It's a book on holiness. And how much He wants that for our lives too. Thank you. Next minutes. Okay. Well, we need to look at the activity of God. We see that in Genesis, don't we? All the way through the first chapter of Genesis, the phrases God blessed, God made, God created, and God said stand out. The impression given is that God as creator is busy and active in several ways. God is active in the big ways. And I have to read this to you because I can't even get a hand around it. There are 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Guess what? That's our galaxy. When we go camping in the summer, that's the one thing we love to do, is go out on the dam and see all the Milky Way. It's just mind-boggling. The heavens declare the glory of God. Okay. Our galaxy is just one of a cluster of 30 galaxies, and the closest galaxy to ours is the Large Magellan Cloud, which is 978 trillion miles away. Now I have enough trouble figuring out a mile when we're walking to even get grasped that. And each galaxy has more than 100 billion stars. And each of those hundreds of billions of stars are personally hung in space by the Creator, who has not only numbered them all, but knows each of them by name. Mind-boggling. The very first words of Genesis tell us, in the beginning God created the heavens. Can we get any bigger than that? So what big problem do you have in your life today that you're facing? Guess what? He's bigger. God is greater than creation. Just as a potter is greater than the jar he forms, an artist is greater than the canvas he paints, and an author is greater than the book he writes, and a programmer is greater than the program he puts into his computer, and a musician is greater than the instruments he or she plays. God is greater than that which He has created. It's hard to get a handle on it, isn't it? God is so big. And God has created everything. He is not one of several gods. He's the absolute supreme over everything. He's the supreme being. He's Elohim. God is greater than creation. This means there is nothing in my life, no circumstance, no crisis, no organization, no individual, no problem, no family, no pressure, no habit, no heartache, no sickness or grief, no king or criminal, or president, nothing visible or invisible, nothing that is greater than God. That's comforting. So what are you facing that's greater than you are? An emotion, a habit, a person, a problem, a responsibility, a schedule, a crisis, a surgical procedure, an illness, a dying mate. Praise God for His deity. He is the creator who is an authority over everything, fully able to control that which not only seems but is beyond our abilities to handle. If you are in a situation where your problems are beyond you, that is a good place to be. Because then you're going to find out who Elohim is. God is active in the small things in the universe and our planet. When I went to college the first time, a cell had three parts. When I went back to college the second time, it was a world unto itself. And I can't even remember how many parts there were in it. It was just unbelievable. I think, what a God we have. He thought nothing is too small for him to notice. A small tear, a small hurt feeling, a small kindness, a small insult, a small sin, a small lie, a small need for love or encouragement, a small article of clothing, a small bite of food or a sip of water, a small word of praise, a small worry that is robbing you of your joy. He even knows when a sparrow hits the ground, or the two little birds my cat brought home the other day. Sad. And how about this? Every snowflake is different. Now, I'd like to really test that out, but I don't know how to do that. Isn't that amazing? Well, let me give you something else that's amazing. Inside of you, there are 75,000 miles of blood vessels carrying blood to over 60 trillion cells. Oh, are you fearfully and wonderfully made? He knows all about it. And then you had, for your memory verse today in Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know we are all prescription babies? Your conception, no matter what the circumstance, was no accident. And being adopted, that makes me feel pretty good. So what is the problem? Why is it sometimes hard to believe? Because of this thing. We look in this and say, oh, too fat, too old, too young, too small, too tall, too ugly, and on it goes. Bless those little mirrors. So, God must be pretty wimpy if he created anything that looks like me. Right? Not of the 5% attractive people that are in the world, not strong, and so on and so on. So we come down to the fact that how can he be creator if he created me? And we get stuck there. But what are we really doing is we're comparing our frames. This body is a frame. This body is going into the grave one day. And we compare our frames. Here's a little small one and say, oh, that's me. I'm a little tiny thing. I'm nothing. Well, I'm a big porcelain one and I have pretty flowers on mine. Or we could say, oh, this is a fine silver frame. Well, not really. I got it at Long's Drugstore. But this must be the best of all because this has gold on it. Wow. But see, what is the problem is that you and I are looking at our frames. And God wants you to look not on the backside of your life. This one just has a bunch of black dots. But this is what he's working in your life. He's going to make something beautiful out of your life within you, not on the outside. Don't be concerned about the outside. God is painting a beautiful picture out of your life, a lot nicer than this one. Whoops. Our living room wall is kind of screened without it. Anyway. So that brings me down to another little story that came in the same thing I read to you this morning about this is about the wheelchair. Johnny and friends have taken wheelchairs to the world. And this one, again, is another story from Peru. And this is the therapist here. I know you can't see this, but this little child here looks like just maybe 2 or 3 years old. Well, this is Grace. Grace's condition was appalling, shocking, and terrifying. Having served as a physical therapist on several wheels for the world trips, it's easy to begin to see the wheelchair as an answer. Grace was a lesson to me that God has so much more for me to learn, more needs in the world that demand answers, more courage to step out and risk, and more love he wants to put in my heart. We met Grace on Friday, the next to the last day of distribution in Peru. She appeared to be the size of a three-year-old and felt like she weighed about 15 pounds. 15. But she was 20 years old. With very white, thin skin and protruding bones, a living skeleton infantile meningitis left her unable to eat solid food, ingesting only one bottle of broth a day. And I just was astounded over this. Normally, I love to reach out and hold people with God's love, but grace was different, difficult, and in my flesh, I recoiled at the thought of touching her. It was then that God reminded me that his son was not afraid to touch lepers. "I'll protect you," he spoke to my heart. By faith, I reached out my arms and gathered Grace to me. In that moment, everything about her countenance changed. Her eyes and her face became alert. She began to coo and make happy noises. Then she reached up with her tiny bird-like fingers to touch and stroke my face. Stunned that someone like me would want to hold and touch her, Grace was responding with all that she had within her, giving back, her black eyes womanly asking, "Why are you willing to touch me?" I could only pray that she felt God's love radiating through me, for indeed it had been him all along. That day, our entire team worked and ministered to Grace, holding her and communicating to her mother, and it goes on to say that they're going to take her on as a special need because a wheelchair was simply not enough. Miracles come in every size and shape. Sometimes they are hard to find and even harder to look at, but we serve an amazing God who led us to Grace, who once was lost, now is found. That's really special, isn't it? You know, we have such flip answers for everything, and we need to be very careful. We don't know why God allows certain things to happen in our lives. I'd like to be able to give you lots of answers to that, but it's not true. But the thing that is true that we need to grasp hold of, there is no truth to evolution. It is to believe in evolution is to believe in a lie. Now, when I first came to Bible study 100 years ago, I had been taught evolution thoroughly, and I had a real tough time hearing that for the first time. But now that I've come to realize in the beginning God, that's all that's necessary. And to believe or to say that you have low self-esteem, you have believed a lie. You were created to know God and glorify him. And I thought, you know, we say that a lot. What does it mean to glorify? You know, you as a woman, if you're married, are to glorify your husband, to be his glory. What does that mean? So it means by giving a correct opinion, an estimation of that person. And that's how you glorify God, is by giving a correct opinion and estimation of him. You are like little epistles if you are a believer. Others are reading your life and looking to you as God's representative. That's why that question, although we debated it at leaders' meeting, could it be possible an unsaved person could bring glory to God? I don't see how. Because you don't even know how you're fulfilling your purpose. And you don't know who God is. And he's the one that's created you. So, interesting to see. And how do you like this? May Chong gave us this at Bible study. I thought it was so good. Mm-hmm. Evolution is an untruth. Man changing how God created. Cosmetic surgery is an untruth. Man changing what God created. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. And what I was trying to stress there is we're not talking about necessary surgery for someone to live, or to you know, when you have a stomach reduction in order to lose weight, that is unfortunate you've gotten to that size, but praise God, that surgery can keep your life going. We're talking about teenagers who want to go in and have breast augmentations and their nose changed. It was taking a survey. I did this once when I was teaching high school. What would you change if you could change one thing about yourself? And I think there was only three students I had who didn't have something they wanted to change, you know. And when you begin to realize that only 5% of the world are beautiful, really fall into that category of being beautiful on the outside, why are we allowing them to dictate what we wear and where we go and what we do and so forth? I mean, it's all so ridiculous. So that I tossed that in because we now have a channel called Health Channel, mm-hmm. and you can see a million different surgeries, and about half of them are all cosmetic. breast augmentations and so forth. What a sad place we've come to. I can give you a lot more on self-esteem. I'm hoping that we've passed through that. You get as old as me, it doesn't matter. You've lost it all anyway. So it's all you can do to manage what you have. Anyway, who is this one that came and was bound in swaddling clothes? Even before that, he was bound in a woman's womb. And then he was bound by a manger. He was bound up in an infant's body, crying for food as a helpless baby. Who is this one that took on the body of an adolescent and grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man? Who is this one that was in the body of a man that knew weariness and hunger? He was bound in cords and taken to a Roman cross, and with his hands and feet pinned to that cross by spikes, and then laid bound in a borrowed tomb. Where did that happen? Well, that happened so that you and I might be set free from the problems that threaten to bind us and keep us from fulfilling God's intended purpose for our lives. You know, you can't read very far into Genesis without coming across this big problem when man sinned, and we've all inherited that. Now, if I had been God, I would have said, forget you, man. I'm going to recreate earth until I find a group of people that will obey. But God had a plan before he ever flung a star into space or ever brought man to be. They had a plan. And it's to set us free from the things that keep binding us up, free from the hindrances that keep us from living our lives as he would have us live them for him. We can be free, truly free at last from all that binds us, because the one who is gloriously eternal, unbound by time and space, was willing to be bound for us. And his name is Elohim. Who is this God of the universe who learned out of nowhere to interpret eternity with the glorious dawn of his story? Remember, history is his story. And he was this baby, this one that came, so that we might be set free. Who is this God of glory, whose presence can give fulfillment to the empty, healing to the broken, forgiveness to the sinful, freedom to the bitter, purpose to the meaningless, help to the helpless, courage to the fearful, strength to the weak, reality to the religious, hope to the hopeless, and love to the loveless? Who is God? Who is the one we can know? Well, it's Elohim. And as you found him to be the first word in Genesis, he's also in the book of Revelation 4:11. Because this is the natural progression as we learn to glorify God, we come to the point where we say, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will, they exist and were created. You are worthy. Lord, I thank you that you have a purpose for each of us, that indeed we're prescription babies. And I don't understand why somebody like Grace had meningitis. I don't understand why others have handicapped children. But you have a purpose in it all. And that some way and somehow you will weave it all together to bring glory to your name, to bring good out of hard situations. And we praise you indeed. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, but very fallen. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross to take care of that. And we thank you that you indeed are worthy of our worship. Elohim, God Almighty, we praise you and thank you that you're interested in a sparrow and a snowflake and all the billions of stars to call them by name, and that you're interested in each of us in this room. What a wonder that is. Help us, Lord, to glorify your name by representing you as you truly are a glorious God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.